thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk with Scott Ellis. I'm Scott Ellis, and today we'll be talking with Becky Jo Rowland, listening to her narration of Cruise Control Your Business, written by Harshna Patel. We'll listen to A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Production with Josie Ellis. Can't wait to hear from her. And I'll do a little tip for you in the Coach's Corner. So stay tuned, and let's get going. Today we're talking with Becky Jo Rowland. She's a member of the Scott Ellis Reads team. She's active in the troop in the SER classroom, and she is working really hard to establish herself as an audiobook narrator, and she has some other very interesting sidelines of acting, dancing, singing, you name it, Becky Jo can do it. Becky Jo Rowland, it's a pleasure to have you. Welcome to Let's Talk with Scott Ellis.
Hello.
Let's start, before we talk business, let's talk about you. Tell us a little bit about your hobbies, your activities, things that you're doing when you're not doing this narration work.
Well, when I'm not doing any type of narration work, this summer at least, I am filming a web series that in full length will be the length of a feature film. And it is called Random Town USA. And hopefully it'll be released sometime later this year. There are a couple trailers up on the YouTube channel currently, but I've been spending a lot of my afternoons into evenings after my 9 to 5, working on this web series.
So is this something that was written by, you know, is it somebody you know? How did you get involved in that?
With the pandemic blossoming, one of my closest friends who graduated from Emerson a couple of years ago, same year I did, is a writing and directing film person. And he decided to put together something that would require a small cast and for us to mostly be filming outside to create reels for actors that we have that are also friends of ours, to create some type of portfolio for himself as well. So this was something that was blossomed from needing something to put ourselves out there.
And so it's called Random Town. Was there a USA on there?
Yeah.
So Random Town USA. So we can search that on YouTube and see some trailers at this point and eventually be able to see some more of that.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. So where is your, I know you've done some live theater and you've also done some of this screen recording. Do you have a preference?
So far, for ease, I like film a lot. We were just talking about with this. There's the possibility of editing and there's the possibility of multiple takes and just there's the opportunity to get it right. Whereas with theater, it's different every night. And that's probably what I love more about live theater is the opportunity for things to change on the fly and to rely on other people in the moment. Whereas in film, sometimes the other person isn't even there. And it's the same way with audiobook narration. If you're doing a dual narration, you're not standing in the same studio most of the time. I'm sure there are some really high-end studios that can get to the point where they are standing in studios next to each other and can make eye contact. But for us, we're all in different places in the troupe. So it's easier for us to do things separately. But yeah, it's the opportunity to fix things and mull things over in the moment about film that I really enjoy. Theater is the constant change and a new story every night.
I haven't been able to do live theater in years. It's probably going on decades now, but I used to live for those moments when fellow cast member would give you that deer in the headlights look of, I have no idea where we are, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And you had to come up with something live to be able to get them back on track. I used to love that.
Yeah, I've had a couple moments like that in my career, and one of them was in 2019. I was in a production of Billy Elliot, and I was Miss Wilkinson, and my Mr. Braithwaite went out on stage with the record player, and we were going to teach Billy to tap dance, and the band cut out. Our microphones were still working, but the entire band sound system had cut out completely, and there was no way to get it back. So I had to play with the cassette player on stage, fiddling with a prop, going on and off stage, trying to figure out what was happening, communicating with the band and my cast member for probably 2 to 3 minutes, but it felt like 2 to 3 hours. And a lot of people said they didn't even notice afterwards, which was crazy to me because I can't even remember what I said, but I know I said something in an accent and in the scene. So we got through it.
That's it. Yeah. There was one time my character needed to be shot, and the woman, you know, points the gun at me. Of course it doesn't go off.
Oh, yeah.
And she quite literally said, bang, I hit the stage. You know, you get the point, right? The audience wasn't really expecting her to kill me. I mean, it wasn't, you know, they knew it wasn't real anyway. But, oh, some funny things. Oh, we could talk about theater and things that go wrong all day. But let's talk about audiobooks, because things go wrong all the time in audiobooks, too. How did you get started, and what developed your interest to look into becoming an audiobook narrator?
Well, I saw Lauren on TikTok. It was just something that really intrigued me, that I could have an opportunity to still act and do something that I love, which is reading, and tell stories without having to go anywhere. And obviously, within the last year and a half, that has been something that is extremely appealing. Even my day-to-day job is work from home mostly. It was just something that I could keep up with my passion. Theater was never a full-time job for me. Film is not a full-time job for me. So these are things to supplement what I do day-to-day and to create, and to have the opportunity to do that from the comfort of my own home really sold me on it. And in my undergraduate theater degree, I took enough design classes around sound that I knew how to get by when we first started talking. But you've definitely helped me along in the way of actually learning the skill set that comes with narration versus any type of sound design for something that's already been created. This is truly from the ground up.
Yeah, as the audiobook narrator, we are also the producer, and it's a lot more than I think some people think. You know, when they think, oh, aren't you just going to turn on the microphone and read my book? And you say, well, I could. Nobody would want to listen to it. Right?
Right.
That's great. So you have at least one book out on the market right now. We're going to pick this one to talk about today. It's called Cruise Control Your Business, and we're going to listen to a little bit of it. Can you set this up? We're going to listen to the beginning of chapter one. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and maybe something about what you went through to produce this and how it worked for you? You know, for the people that are listening to think, oh, I wonder if I might want to do this. Give them an idea of what it looked like top to bottom.
For sure. So I really like to do nonfiction books. It is, I believe, easier than fiction books. Fiction is the true like art form to me, but the nonfiction books for narration are cut and dry most of the time. The author that we worked with, English was not her first language, so we first had a meeting with her after my audition and after I was selected to read the book, and we kind of talked through what editing on the fly would look like, which is actually something audiobook narrators do more often than probably we'd like to admit to our authors or our producers. And she was totally fine with everything that I would need to change, if I had to change anything at all. And just the process of recording a book about creating your small business and being able to manage that work-life balance, that was helpful for me in my own life. So it's definitely a valuable read, and it's also a short read, I think, for where I'm reading at. And yeah, it's just easy to get through. Good soul-searching moment. If you're wondering why your business is overtaking your life, this is a good way to balance things out.
All right, let's give a listen to a couple of minutes. So this is the first couple of minutes of Chapter 1 of Cruise Control Your Business by Harshna H. Patel. It is available on Audible, Amazon.com, and the Apple Bookstore, and it runs about 2 hours, 32 minutes, to be very exact. So let's take a listen to Becky Jo's narration of this project.
Chapter 1. Is owning your business killing your peace of mind? Being a small business owner is the hardest job ever. It is more stressful than being a CEO of a big corporation, because CEOs get equipped with helpers and mega systems to get things done easier. A small business owner does it all alone. I have been in a retail brick and mortar business for 15 years now, and I can tell you that the struggles a small business owner has are unexplainable. It was as if I was married to my business, and we had lots of problems between us. It's harder because only you can solve problems. The struggles of having employees, licensing, getting daily stuff done, vendors, ordering, etc., you name it. All departments are handled by only one person, and that person is you. You are always stuck there no matter what. Sometimes your employees or vendors call out, or something can't get done because such and such problem happened. It's impossible to own a business and go home and not have to think about it. "I am so busy," was the answer I had for everyone around me. My two kids and husband all wanted something from me all the time, and I had one answer. "I am busy. We will do that next time." I lived this life for 10 good years and felt as if nothing was changing. My day started with things that needed to be done at the stores and ended with being grumpy from not having accomplished all the tasks that I planned. Getting the kids ready for school, packing lunch for all family members, taking care of the business's day-to-day operations and new issues that came along every day, and making dinner for the family summed up pretty much how my days went. The frustration from a lack of time to take care of the workload drained me every day. This created unbalanced, unorganized thoughts in my head and made me lose focus. I surely made money, but I was still not happy and satisfied. I felt as if I was missing something in my life. "You are living an American dream," I was told many times from other people, but my inner self wasn't feeling enough. I had businesses, family, and work to do. But is that all we need in life?
Well, that seems like a great place to stop with that very deep question. Nice job on that narration. If listeners are interested in hearing that in its entirety, we just mentioned that you can find it on audible.com, amazon.com, or the iTunes store, or Apple Books is what they're now called, I suppose. And also, we might have some free copies left over if you email info@scottellisreads.com. We might be able to hook you up with a free copy of it so that you can listen on us. Before we continue this interview, this episode is brought to you in part by ScottEllisReads.com. Let's take a moment and hear more about ScottEllisReads.com.
The audiobook industry is growing by leaps and bounds. Is your book in audio? The team of Scott Ellis Reads can help make that happen. Your audience is busy, but your story is something they need to experience. Meet them where they are. Get your book into audio so they can listen while they move through their busy lives. Visit scottellisreads.com and listen to a variety of narrators from which you can choose. I'm Melissa LaFleur. You will hear me featured on the page, along with some of my very talented and capable colleagues. You can also email scott@scottellisreads.com to talk about how he can help you narrate your own work. Nobody knows it like you do. We look forward to helping you expand your sales market and putting your story into the ears of your fans.
Thank you for listening. Now let's get back to this interview. So, Becky Jo, are you a business owner?
I like to think I am by doing all of this and by being occasionally self-employed by a 1099 or two.
All right. Okay. So you do have some actual understanding or experience as to what Ms. Patel was talking about. Talk about what it was like to read something in the first person, because you kept using those first person pronouns, I. How did you go about kind of trying to tap into her and where her mind might have been when she was writing that book?
So with this nonfiction piece, I do think there was a bit of character to it because she leads a different life than I do. She owns convenience stores, has two wonderful children, has a husband, has extended family that influence her immediate family's life. And those are all not necessarily things that I have. So being able to put myself in her shoes and kind of extrapolate how it would feel for those feelings that I might feel running my own business and only dealing with me as an employee, and having them just expanded across multiple stores and multiple employees and different family members to balance their lives and my own. Like, that really put me in the headspace to take the issues that I have going on and put them in a balance with my own life, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That's one of the neat things as being an audiobook narrator is we get to read a lot of books and, you know, we get to kind of internalize them, which it sounds like you have done.
Yeah.
So you mentioned how she is expanding and has that given you thoughts? How might you like to expand your work or the depth and breadth of kind of the things that you can do in audiobook or voiceover acting? Where do you hope to take this?
Well, first of all, I'd love to read her next book. I hope that I can get more fiction underneath my belt. Like I said, there was a little bit of character to this, and I'd like to expand my own audiobook and narration career to doing things that are fiction-based with lots of characters, with different worlds, with different fantastical elements. I love fantasy. I love to read fantasy and kind of take in any fantasy media I can. So that's kind of like what I'd like to work up to in my narration career, is being able to read a fantasy book and read all of the names correctly the first time. So, yeah.
And you just brought up a great point from, you know, teacher for almost 30 years, once a teacher, always a teacher. One of my strong suggestions to people is to narrate things you enjoy reading. So you mentioned you like to read fantasy. You're going to do a better job at narrating fantasy than if you didn't. It's not necessarily my favorite kind of material to read, so I don't try to do much of it because I would have a hard time keeping my brain and my body, my heart, fully engaged. And we have to do the best job that we can in delivering the material, because that's what we're paid for.
Exactly.
I know for me, with every book that I have narrated, there are things that I wish I could go back and do again, because I've learned along the way. What might you have learned from seeing this, which was your first full-length project? What did you learn kind of seeing it through from beginning to end?
Voiceovers are kind of a learning curve for me in terms of being able to go back and listen to whatever that feeling or tone was around that chapter and just inserting one thought here and there. That was probably the thing I learned the most about doing this, is that I need to learn to what's happening before the moment that I'm doing the voiceover and after the moment I'm doing the voiceover. I think before I started this project, I was just under the impression that it's like, this is the line. I sound the same all the time, which, you know, spoiler alert, nobody sounds the same all the time. And especially when you're putting your own twist on it and getting emotional into different characters and different situations, that's when it's going to get a little hairy, when you just throw a line out there. So that was kind of my big learning moment.
So again, going into my coaching mode, and I know that we have some content about this on other episodes of the podcast and more coming up, is that voiceover. It is probably more difficult to do voiceovers than it is to do the original narration, in that it's nothing for me to, when I sit down with a new chapter that I'm doing voiceovers, do that first voiceover 7, 10, 12, 15 times.
Right.
You know, oh, the microphone might have been a little higher, a little lower. Maybe I was sitting closer or farther back. No, we don't all sound the same all the time. And it's you got to get right back at that moment. And you said something very important about taking the time to kind of analyze, where are we in this scene?
Mm-hmm.
What is the character's motivation for saying this? That's going to change how I'm going to say it. I just can't read the words that the editor said I need to redo. So you brought up some good points there.
Yeah.
So with that, what would you say is the best advice that you have gotten, or the biggest lesson that you have learned, say, in the last year about audiobook recording?
I would say try to set yourself up the same way every time. So like kind of what you were saying, like maybe the microphone was in a different position. My microphone is in a pretty fixed position. I have a small child's chair, a Shakespeare collection, and a very large Into the Woods script here holding my microphone in place that it's not going to move. And if you're the type of person that needs hydration every time you sit down to read, then have the same type of hydration every time you sit down to read, because it's going to impact how you sound from day to day. Also, time of day makes a very big difference in how your voice is going to start out when you start your reading for the day and where you're going to end off. And your session length. If you're reading for 4 hours every single time, you are not going to sound the same at the beginning of the session as the end of the session. So try to expand your time that you can record for, but don't make it so long that you are trying to balance sounding different every single time you record.
I think that is fantastic advice. That's terrific. It has been great talking with you about this book, kind of your process, a little bit about your journey. There's one final thing that I'd like to kind of have you leave us with, and that is the meaning of this. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
So to me, that means that no matter what, there will always be another day where you can fix all of your problems from today and try to go into it with some type of levity and happiness.
That's great. So I didn't pull that out of thin air. I knew that that was one of your favorite quotes or kind of something you use to moderate your daily life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so nice to see that you have those kinds of things in perspective because, yeah, we can't do everything perfectly today. And we do have, you know, God willing, we do have tomorrow. And it's always an opportunity to make ourselves better and to improve. And those are the things that I have seen you do since we've gotten to know each other. You've gotten better, you've improved, and I think you're going to do just fine in this industry with lots of work coming your way. So, Becky Jo Rowland, it was fantastic to have you here today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. This was a great opportunity, and I can't wait to listen to more episodes of this podcast.
Now it's time for another episode of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Production. Today we're talking with Josie Ellis, my wife, my boss, my co-business owner. Josie, welcome back.
Thanks.
So you have a lot of hats that you wear in this business, and there are things that go well and some things that don't go so well. You got a story for us?
I do. So one of the things that as an editor or proofer, you kind of never know what you're getting into. And when we were first starting out, I put my name on a list of editors and proofers, and you have to have a reference. So somebody who will vouch for you that you actually did editing and proofing for them and, you know, kind of a reference. So I get a call out of the blue from somebody, and I'm thrilled because, you know, I'm editing for you, but we're really trying to have a good client base. So if you're not in a book, I need to have somebody else that I'm doing this work for. So I get an email from somebody who goes through the book that he's working on, his timeline, and he and I go back and forth, agree on the price, agree on the deadline, and he starts to send me files. Holy moly, the amount of work. He can't put four sentences. He can't put four words together before messing up. And as I recall, it might have been, I've done a lot of different books for people. This might have been a religious book. So he also had his own religious commentary about it. Like, you know, somebody saying, I think there was a line about going to hell and, you know, he didn't believe in that. And so had made his own commentary about it. So I had to take that out. But the amount of time it took me to get through this project, because he had a great voice. So there wasn't an issue with his ability to sound good, to really present the material. But I don't know if he had something else going on in his brain, but he couldn't really get out the words that were in front of him without making a mistake. Which, you know, if you're a narrator, you make mistakes all the time. Like your brain works faster than your mouth does. Even as I'm talking, you know, you catch yourself doing little misspeaks and having to start a sentence over again. So just speaking normally, that happens, let alone if you're trying to read somebody else's material but some people do it better than others. I know there's like an error rate, and I can't imagine what his error rate was, because it took me forever to just rough edit, just to get out the mistakes before I could make his sentences flow together smoothly. So yes, I didn't think I was going to get through that project, but I did. And we worked through it together. I think, as I recall, honey, you helped me with, you know, making it sound as good as it needed to sound. And that's where the learning happens. That's where the magic happens, when, you know, we can teach each other things about what we're working on and work on it together. But yeah, I did finally get through it. But you never know when you're agreeing to edit for somebody. Are they going to be awful? Is their voice going to be weird? Are they going to have a ton of mistakes? And you don't really know that going in when you're negotiating with them. So live and learn. You know, I don't think I've actually created a process by which I have somebody send me a raw audio file. But I haven't had anybody that mistake prone since. So I've been lucky. Right.
Yeah. And if I can step into my coaching role for a moment, you know, narrators, this is why you have to pre-read your book. This fellow was a fantastic narrator. He had a great voice, great sense of timing, really nice pace. I could have listened to him for hours. In fact, we did. But what you need to do when you're working on a project, if it's fiction, you absolutely have to read the entire work. More than once, probably. But even nonfiction, a lot of people will think they can go into it cold and just read it. Generally, nobody wants to listen to anything that you've read cold. So if you're not going to pre-read the entire project, you do need to read the first measurable percentage, and you need to read it out loud, because you have to see how the author's words fit in your mouth. How do they come out? Where do you get tied up and tangled? And then every chapter before you narrate it, you should definitely pre-read it, so you know where that chapter is going. You've been able to see what phrases or words might hang you up. And I think he could have benefited greatly from, you know, a pre-read of one chapter rather than trying to read it cold, which is really what it felt like you were dealing with, Josie.
Sure. Yeah, I think that's definitely what he must have done. Yeah. It's a good tip, honey.
Well, thank you. And thank you for coming back on the podcast. It's always lovely to see you.
You too.
All right.
Virtually.
That's right.
Now I'll go see you in real life.
All right.
Okay. Thanks.
Let's take a moment and step into the Coach's Corner. Today, I want to talk with authors who are interested in getting their books into audio. Of course, the best suggestion from my perspective is for you to go to scottellisreads.com, click on the Meet the Team link, listen to all of the narrators that I work with, pick the voice that suits your book, or ask us to have them audition specifically for your material, and we will produce your book in full. Another option is, nobody knows the book like you do. Perhaps you want to narrate it. You know, send me an email, scott@scottellisreads.com. We can talk about how that really is a very realistic possibility. So let's say that you go with a platform like ACX and ACX.com, which is Audiobook Creation Exchange, and that's kind of linked to Amazon and Audible, so that's where your book would be released. You will put out a call for auditions, you'll fill out a bunch of information about your book, and then you will get bunches of auditions back. So the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go through and you're going to throw out the really bad ones, and then you're going to go through a second time, and you're going to throw out the ones that have poor production quality, because the auditions that we as narrators send need to sound exactly like a final product would. Now, the character voices and the tempo and things like that, don't throw anybody out for those things, because those can be changed. But if you're hearing a dog bark in the background, or they're pounding on their table as they're reading, or just the quality doesn't sound good, that's not going to change. That's on us to make sure we send the best thing possible. So now you've got it down to those final finalists. Now you want to start thinking about relationships. Send them an email. Ask them some questions. Visit their social media sites. Look for websites. Look for Facebook pages. Do they advertise themselves? Do they have other projects that they've done in the past? You know, everybody needs a start, so I wouldn't say throw them out if they don't have any books, because, heck, I didn't have any books at one point. So we all have to start somewhere, and thank you if you're going to consider a newbie. But send an email to each of them. Ask them some questions. Start to develop that relationship. Ask them to narrate a second scene. All of the scenes that you ask for should be about 3 minutes to 5 minutes long. Try not to make it more than five. If you don't know whether you want them within 5 minutes, then you're not going to know. And it's really not fair to have narrators audition, you know, a 9 minute, 12 minute audition if you're going to know in 15 seconds whether you want them or not. So keep it short, but ask them to narrate a second scene. If they say, no, I'm not willing to do that, well, then you know that maybe they're not willing to go that one extra step to make you happy. This is a big deal, getting your book into audio. You want to be comfortable with the team or the narrator that you have selected. So that's a little bit about how the process works and what you can do to make sure that you're working with a good partner right from the beginning. So that's it for the Coaching Corner today. Thank you for tuning in today to Let's Talk with Scott Ellis. We heard from Becky Jo Rowland, we heard from Josie Ellis, and hopefully you picked up a quick tip in the Coach's Corner. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.